There's nothing in you that made God love you. Everything has to do with God. It's all in Him. It's who He is. Secondly, there's nothing you can do, all your performance, to make Him love you more than He already does.
Pastor Ray Bentley helps us understand agape, the kind of divine love that reaches us in spite of our humanness.
Agape is a love so great, it is from another world.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Given all the love sung about in songs, written about in books, and portrayed in movies, you'd think we'd all be experts on the subject. But God wrote the book on the subject, quite literally. It's part of His very character. Today, Pastor Ray brings us an important look at love from our studies in 1 John.
All right, beginning in verse 1, 1 John chapter 3, he says, "Behold, look, guys," is what he's saying, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him." He says, behold what manner of love. And so what kind of love? It is agape love. And I want to share with you this word, the Greek word for love that is here. When it says, behold what manner of love, the Greek word for love there is agape. Now, I like the English language. I'm glad that I speak English, that I know English, and that I am able to share and talk to people in English. But sometimes I find the English language a little limiting, especially when it comes to the word love. For instance, God chose two languages to communicate His word in His heart: Hebrew, the Old Testament, and Greek, essentially in the New Testament. And the Greek language had three different words for love: agape, which we'll talk about mostly this morning in a moment, and then phileo, which means a brotherly, sisterly kind of love, and then thirdly, eros, which is kind of a physical or fleshly love. I want to read to you some of the things that it says in the dictionary about this word agape. It said this word agape, this agape love, is the essential word of Christianity. And since the Holy Spirit of Revelation chose it to express ideas previously unknown, only the life of Jesus Christ can shed light upon its true meaning. If you want to know, so okay, agape love, that's God's love. What is that? Look at Jesus. And the supreme demonstration of agape love is right here. When Jesus died, when Jesus gave His body, and when He was nailed to the cross, that is the greatest expression of agape love. And in fact, the New Testament says that our Father in heaven will be unveiling or revealing or explaining or giving us the benefits of that one single act of agape love for eternity. In that one act of Jesus voluntarily laying down His life, the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of God have come to us. Another expression says, it is the exercise of the divine will in a deliberate choice to agape love someone without any assignable cause to the individual except from the nature of God. Now, let me say that again in more simple language. There's nothing in you that made God love you. Everything has to do with God. It's all in Him. It's who He is. And there is nothing you can do to make God love you. Secondly, there's nothing you can do with all your performance to make Him love you more than He already does. God is love, burning, powerful, shining, emanating, focused, intense, after you. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Agape is a love so great, It is from another world. You could write in your notes. It is otherworldly. You've never been to this planet. You've never been to this country. You've never seen this kind of love, except through the expression of Jesus, who loved us and died for us on the cross. Christian love, this agape love, it is not an impulse from feelings, because feelings go up and down, as you know. It does not always run with inclinations. I'm inclined this way. Oh, I changed my mind. I'm inclined that way. It's not like that. Nor does it spend itself only on those for whom it has some affinity. Well, I like these kind of people. God's not like that. His agape love is bigger and wider than anything in the universe. In fact, it is not accurate to say that God is in the universe. It is more accurate to say the universe is in God. There is no beginning, there is no end, there's no edge to God. And God, in all of his being, is love. Love can only be known by the actions it prompts. Love is not what you say only. Love is not what you feel only. Love is really demonstrated by what you do. And that's how God's love for you and I, it always goes back to the cross. We never move from the cross. When we get to heaven and see Jesus, it's like we're going to be in Revelation. And he heard the voice of the lion of the tribe of Judah, and the gates of heaven were shaking, and he turned around and he saw, as it were, a lamb that had been slain. We're going to see Jesus and even the wounds that he bore for our sake, even in his glorified, risen, resurrected body. It is that deep and constant love of God toward those who are entirely unworthy. And yet there's something about when God makes you the object of his infinite love that produces this love and reverence and thankfulness and to receive it. One of the main jobs of being a child of God is to learn how to be a good receiver. Because he is so rich and he has so much to give. He's just looking for people that will receive the gifts that he has to offer, and in particular, the gift of his son, Jesus. And really, when you have Jesus, you have everything. Now, let me just say this. How we see God, how we view God, will determine our response to him. So let me ask, how do you see God? How do you view God? It's interesting that when we're little boys and little girls, our first image of God really comes, without realizing it, kind of from our parents. And, you know, oftentimes what I have found is that people that they grow up and then, you know, they get all philosophical and they're agnostic or they're atheist or whatever. Not every single time, but often my experience has been that, you know, we have this debate about God or whatever they think about it. And then you ask, so tell me, you know, a little bit about when you were young and growing up, what your parents were like. And invariably, there was something damaging that happened early and young. They said, no way. Done. He's not there. Or if he is there, he doesn't care. And so they just put God on the shelf. Tragic. And this is why, by the way, it's so important to read the Bible and to get a true picture of the image of God. I have talked to countless people who tell me, well, I don't believe in a God that, and then they list all these crazy things. And then I go, I don't believe in that God either. And they go, you don't? I go, no, because the God you just described isn't the one that I know. He's not the one, certainly, that is in the Bible who loved you so much and gave his son. I would reject the God you just described. But the one you just described doesn't even exist. Let's go back to the one that does. And so it's very, very interesting to look at our upbringing. I want you to note this. God, the true living God, is unlike anyone you have ever met as a human being or ever known. He is other. And I would also say this. I'll give you an insight. To the 7 billion people on the planet. How many of you would like a kind of a secret, an inside secret? You want to know an inside secret? Listen to this. Every single human being, we were made and designed in the image of God, not only in our inner being, spiritually, and intuitively, but even in our physiology, on a cellular level, everything in us craves and wants to know a God who is loving and a God who cares and sees and will help us in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, I put into your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together, shall we? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We have the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and he is not a spirit that gives you fear. Oh no, God. He's a spirit that says, Daddy, Daddy. He is constantly drawing you, just like a little baby that with its little tiny arms reaches by instinct. It doesn't even have to be taught to reach up its little arms and hands to be held, to be loved, to be hugged, to be touched, to be nurtured. So also, we have been given a spirit of adoption, not of fear, whereby we cry out, Abba. Abba in Hebrew means daddy. It's a very affectionate and intimate term.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. These daily studies go out around the country through radio and around the world at maranatharadio.com. And we enjoy hearing from our listeners.
Dear Pastor Ray, I wanted to take a moment to tell you what a blessing Maranatha Radio has been, as well as the internet streaming messages. My husband and I attended your services while we lived in San Diego, but moved back to our hometown a few years ago. We've been unable to find a church in our small town that preaches through the Word like you do. We were so thankful to God for providing Maranatha the capacity of spreading the Word to this high-tech world through your program.
How do Pastor Ray's daily studies bless you? Would you let him know? It's not only an encouragement to us, it lets us know this program is having an impact. Write Ray at RayBentley.com. Ray at RayBentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, I want to take a moment and tell you a story about I have a grandson who is from Africa. And he is actually from Uganda. His name is Isaac. And Annie and Sean, you know, they said, we want to adopt, and we started going to Africa. And so they went and got Isaac, and he came back here, and he's been growing up. He's got an older brother, Noah, and sister, Bentley. And one day, you know, they were talking, Annie was sitting with him, and he started figuring out, so I didn't come from your tummy like Noah, did I? She goes, no. Annie goes, no. And he goes, and I didn't come from your tummy like Bentley. No. So where did I come from? So Annie gets the picture book, and she says, here, sits him on his lap and starts going through it and says, look, we went to Africa. That's where you're from. And showed him, you know, kind of on the map. And Uganda, which it's funny because then Isaac, he heard Uganda, and so he calls it Myganda. He thought, well, that's Myganda. Okay, so it's Myganda for Isaac. And then, so she's saying, okay, and here's the orphanage and all these little boys and girls. And goes, oh, wow. And then she goes, and that's you, sitting right there. He's only like 2 years old, this little guy, and all these other little boys and girls sitting around him, and that's you. So he looks at it and he stares at it. And she's wondering what he's thinking and what's going on. And then he goes, so what happened? And she goes, well, we had actually prayed for you, and we knew it was going to be a boy. The Lord told us it would be a boy, and even told us that your name would be Isaac. And then we came to the orphanage, and there you were, the boy, and we saw your smile, and your name was Isaac. And I knew it was you, so I picked you up. And all of a sudden, Isaac started to, this deep wail came up from him, from his toes. He just started heaving and sobbing and crying. And so Annie is crying, and she's going, oh no, oh no, what did I do? What did I do wrong? And so she's comforting him and rocking him, and she says, what's the matter, what's the matter? And he's just crying and crying, and finally he stops, and he says, Mommy, you picked me up. You picked me up. You picked me. You picked me up. And you're my mom. and you're my dad, and that's my brother, and that's my sister. And that's the picture of what God did for you, and that's what God did for me. And we get spoiled both ways. We get to be born into God's family, born again, but we also get adopted. We get picked. We get chosen by the loving, gracious, heavenly Father, and he picks us up. And he says, you're mine. And I put my name on you and my seal upon you and my spirit within you. And I'll never leave you. And I will never forsake you. And I will take you to be with me forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Whew. Wow. So in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, Jesus said, or what man is there among you if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Hey, Dad, can I have some bread? Yeah, here's a rock, you know. Jesus is kind of making fun. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? He goes, if you then, being evil, you're not perfect, and yet you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? He's encouraging us, ask, pray. If your earthly fathers want to do good for their children, how much more does your perfect, loving Heavenly Father want to give to you? So he is encouraging us to pray and to ask and have that kind of relationship. Look with me in verse 2. He goes on again, beloved, there it is again. You are beloved, John wants you to know. If you forget everything else about today, remember this, you're loved, you are beloved. He says, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He's talking about the second coming. When Jesus comes, you're going to see him. We're going to see Jesus. And when you see him, you will be transformed into his image, and you will be like him. I believe he is like his glory, his resurrection body. We are God's children, and he's going to reward us and bless us and lavish his grace and mercy upon us in such a beautiful way. So what's going to happen is a complete transformation. So note this, the Father's heart, his goal for you, his heart is complete transformation. Okay, read with me 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, let's read it. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. You ain't seen nothing yet, is what he's saying. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. It hasn't even entered as a thought in the heart of anyone on this planet what God has ready and prepared for you when you see him and you're made to be just like him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. What he goes on to say is, but he's beginning to show us. Even while we're here, while we're saved, while we have the Holy Spirit in us, he gives us little glimpses of the heaven to come. And I share with you today that on a number of occasions in my life, I have had glimpses that are divine, that are, there are no words to describe, where all of a sudden, for a few moments, I am gone. I am in this place of heavenly joy and ecstasy that is indescribable. And it just makes me say, Lord, I want to know, I want to be with you now. I don't want this to go away. And he's, you know, it never remains. So that longing and that yearning is always there. The whole creation groans together with us until we get our redemption. To wit, the Bible says, our new bodies. So we desire it. So that's where John is comforting and encouraging the believers then. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It hasn't yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed at his coming, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so what do we get? We get these experiences, these tastes of heaven, but we also get something that is very powerful and profound. transformation. God is all about transforming you, changing your nature. Many people think that being a Christian is learning better some code of what's right and wrong and then managing the best you can your sinful little life. Managing your sins. That is not Christianity. Period. It has nothing to do with Christianity. And then a lot of people, because they think that's Christianity and they try to manage their sinful little lives and it's hard and it's no fun, it's not rewarding, and they chuck it and say, well, I've been there, done that, and tried it. And I go, no, you haven't. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You just tried religion. Jesus, if you saw him, know him, and he reveals himself to you, and you get transformed on the inside, that's the life. When you say, I don't need that, I don't want that, that is a dead tree to me. I'm not interested. I've changed. I am a new man, and new things have taken place in my heart. So I want you to note this, transformation. I mean, I'm sure you all want this transformation. Become more like Jesus is what transformation means, but it is a painful process. I wish I could tell you otherwise, but that's what Jesus said. Transformation is a painful process. It is about breaking patterns, habits, and strongholds, and replacing them through transformation with new patterns, new habits, and new strengths. Amen?
Great encouragement today from Pastor Ray Bentley and our study in 1 John here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, What Manner of Love? We'll send it to you on CD for your gift of any size. Again, it's called What Manner of Love? And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 John on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. You know, Pastor Ray, sometimes we learn some of the most important principles by seeing them lived out in someone's life. In fact, the Bible tells so many parables for that very reason. They're living examples of one principle or another. Well, you have a new book just out, a novel that follows the life of a man through many trials and tribulations, and we can learn a lot from this man's story. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely right. People are going to fall in love with this main character. His name is Jack Garrison. He's a guy that's a believer. He goes to Baylor University. He's a Christian guy. And then a tragedy happens in his life that literally hits him blindside and totally robs his faith. He gets totally disoriented. But that's when God begins to work in mysterious ways. And all of a sudden, we see this guy that's lost everything. He's gone through a personal tragedy and tremendous pain and loss. And yet he's living in modern times, like right now. He gets brought along into a story where the next thing you know, he's walking the streets of Jerusalem. Where he doesn't even believe in the, you know, old guys, prophets with beards walking through the desert talking about end times, apocalyptic things. He says that's all nonsense. And yet he has some supernatural adventures and encounters that open his eyes to where he gets drawn right into the very midst, into the very center of the last days of the prophetic events while he's walking the modern streets of the city of Jerusalem. It's an incredible story. I can't wait for people to read it.
Well, the book is just out. It's called On the Mountain of the Lord, co-written by Pastor Ray and bestselling author Bodhi Taney. And we'll send a copy your way to thank you for your donation of any size. You can choose the amount, but please remember that it's your generosity that helps us continue to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day. So get in touch today. Write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at raybentley.com.
And David, one more thing. I wanted to encourage everybody to please sign up for my daily devotional. We'd love to send that to you. Just go sign up for it at raybentley.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, that comes to you via email, and it's free of charge. Again, go to raybentley.com. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 John. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.